podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 21st of November, 2023. My name's Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and you can download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all your normal podcast providers. If you are watching on YouTube and you like what we're doing, hit like and subscribe. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, why not leave us a review? A bit of feedback's always a bit nice. On this week's show, speaking of feedback, two more defeats for the Belfast Giants in a position unfamiliar over the last few years. I will spend the next half hour or so probably talking about that. Mark Cooper will join us to give us a captain's take on the current adversity. Well, next up for the Giants, it's the visit of the Glasgow Clan. Aaron Murphy dons his hockey ops advisor cap and joins us for a discussion on what's going on in Renfrew. And following his star turn with the Subway subcannon in his hands, local comedian and host of the No Blasters podcast, Kieran Bartlett, will drop by for a chat. Mr. Mitch Jimsey, how are you? Nice hat.
Thanks, mate. That's wee Lily. I was at hockey practice with Lily earlier on, and it was freezing cold, and she didn't want to wear it, and I said, I will. And I never took it off since, because it's nice and warm. So, you know.
It's very cool. And Mr. Kitchen, welcome back. First of all, big thanks to Gareth Martin for sitting in last week. Says good to see you back.
Marnie does better than me, Smith, so I'm, you know, he's a good lad. So I was talking to him earlier. He was giving a few tips about what to say tonight. Thanks, Marty. Look, I've known Marty for a long, long time. So just pleased that he's on board with us now. He's a good kid.
He's really insightful in what he does. He obviously goes and prepares. He does a lot of preparation, clearly, because he must have. No, I'm trying to say he's we wing it a wee bit more. I think during as you get older at this game, you wing it less and less, or you wing it more and more. Sorry, you prefer less and less. But some of the stuff he was going through last week about incidents during the game and all, it's really insightful, the detail he's going into. I've quite enjoyed having him on.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't say he's not saying
before I start slagging him off.
Not saying you ain't that at all. Right, let's get stuck in. Before we get to the games, obviously there were two bits of news that happened before we got to the games. Firstly, we begin with the fact that there's goalie coverage signed, provided by Petr Cech, Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League winner and goalkeeper for Chelsea and latterly Arsenal, joined and to help out. And certainly, Davey drew a lot of attention.
Yeah, obviously signed to lighten the load a wee bit on Besko, especially in training with you know, Dick and West not being able to step up at the minute. Those wee niggles they have that have been well publicised, and, you know, Petr's playing obviously a couple of leagues down. Just team Oxford City were more than willing to, they run three good goaltenders there, and they were able to let Petr head off for a week or two. So, you know, grateful to them first and foremost. Grateful to Adam and Steve and stuff for maybe getting this deal done. And grateful to Petr for stepping up and helping out when he could.
Says he was obviously here a few months ago with regards to the Ukrainian Hockey Dreams game that took place. You got to meet him then. And, you know, the fact is, you know, obviously he's playing for Oxford City and the standard is a lot lower there. But to come in and, as Davey says, lighten the load, it was invaluable to the Giants at this time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Wes and both him and Dicko being injured at the minute, we've used Scott Biggerstaff, Big Gavin Kelly, / Moore, Rory Sempe, there's been guys there, but they've all got jobs. So, I mean, it's been difficult to try and have two goalies on the ice at any one time. And then Besko was sick for a few days as well. So they were down to basically hitting posts, which is what we used to do when we were kids, you know, trying to give you a bit of target practice. So, yeah, thanks to the Petr for coming in and helping out Besko and trying to, as Davey says, lighten the load for him. So let's be honest, over the last few weeks, the league's had the attention of everything that's happened since the end of October. It's brilliant to have something else to not so much take your mind off it, but just, you know, to get some more exposure for the league. So That definitely was a talking point, not just through the IHL, believe you me. Again, we were away for a couple of days there in Boston, and Charlie McAvoy asked Blake on Friday morning, he says, is it true that Petr Cech is signed for the Belfast Giants? And Blake is going, yep, yeah, he plays for our team. So, you know, you've got all these international superstars talking about another international superstar of a different code, a different sport, playing professional hockey. So it's not just in the UK. This is made news. This is made news worldwide for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. Obviously, we're hoping that we get like so Wes and Deco back on the ice, and Petr's only in as a bit of a temporary cover. But the other bit of news came before the games, and that was, of course,
Docs.
Miles Gendron was subject to Docs. He's given a 2-game suspension for a drop check. Is that the one? No, it's not the one. Anyway, I'll pull it up here, Davey, but your thoughts on it?
Listen, I think over the last number of weeks in leagues right across the sphere in the UK, sanctions have been slightly higher than prior. You eat it and you move on. For me, it's not a 2-game ban. We had this debate on Twitter. Almost feel like we'll have to be careful what we say in this podcast, being, you know, associated with a team in the league, closely associated with a team in the league. But for me, like, you know, got the 2 games, you carry on. I felt like I was analysing it. I don't know if it was in a conversation with you and somebody else on. It was, I can't remember who was sort of trolling us a wee bit the other day. But I feel the player gets his arm up. He gets cross-checked, yes, on the arm. It hits him in the face. He goes back. He throws a left arm as well. For me, Gino's stick is a distance from meeting the neck. But look, it's been analysed one way by somebody else, and they've come up with a 2-game ban. When you see the super slow-mo, I don't believe it's reckless by Gendron. It's unnecessary. They have a little bit of a shove at each other. And hindsight's 20/20 vision. I'm sure as soon as he done it, he was thinking that was stupid. But, you know, we shove back. It's always the retaliation, Simon, isn't it? It's always a retaliation, gets the big penalty. So if you see here, I think he gets his left arm up just in time. Maybe he doesn't. but for me, it's not a 2-game ban, but it is, and he served the 2 games, and you motor on, you know.
That's it. And I'll come to you, Sid, but like back and forward on Twitter, where I agree with you, Davey. I thought it was probably 1 game at the most. Of course, you put that sort of thing on Twitter and everybody cries because they don't agree with you. So we got the sort of normal sort of nonsense outrage about it. But I think that you know, you see the fact that I don't think it's as bad a cross check as it's been made out to be. He got booted from the game, rightly so. 1 game probably would have covered him back, but he got 2, and so be it. Says,
I was looking at Twitter last week, and used to were getting that. So I think it was Scott Finley and the guys from Banner, what have you. To be honest, the two years are talking crap. It's a suspension. And that's the bottom line.
It's 2 games.
Okay. Yeah, again, two games is maybe a bit harsh, but it's definitely a suspension. Mads gives the referee and the Dobbs a decision to make. It's a stupid play by him. Whether he basically, you know, catches him in the neck or the throat or the arm and rides up the arm and hits him in the face is absolutely irrelevant. We're dying. We're hurting as it is. We've got guys out. It's a stupid play. That's make no mistake about it. It's annoying when you're frustrating because you're in a bad run of form. But look at that. There are 2 games. It is what it is. Suck it up. Move on. It's done now. Hopefully, he's got the hunger inside him to basically come back this weekend and make up for what's up and what he missed last weekend.
Absolutely. 2 games for Miles Gendron, which he has now served. It was the game against the Sheffield Steelers and the game against the Manchester Storm. So let's get stuck into the first one of those, gents. The Belfast Giants went into the league leaders, the current league leaders in the Sheffield Arena. to take on the Steelers, and were subject, unfortunately, to a 5-1 defeat. Jan's only goal came in the power play in the second period through Greg Prince, where the Sheffield goals came from Usula, Watling, Newman, Allen, and Campini, which I quite like him. I think he's a great player. In goal, Tyler Bescarani, 24 shots on, 5 goals against. On the other side, Matt Greenfield, 29 shots on, 1 goal against. Referees were the Andrews, Miller, and Jarvie. Davey, 3-0 down after one period and a bit devoid of ideas.
I've toyed long and hard about how to like trying to analyze this a bit without trying to be too negative on it, because I guess the weekend and the last couple of weekends haven't been where we've wanted to be as a team. I actually, watching the game, as you know, I do watch the games again and again and again. Like the first 10 minutes isn't a disaster, it's a bit of a track meet. We're going up and down and we're exchanging opportunities, and but you can't give up goals the way we did. And you put yourself 3-0 down in a game where we're not scoring a lot of goals at the minute. You know, you're in trouble. You want to pause that, Paddy, because that's our only goal. We'll save that for when we get to it. I'm trying something here. If you've got a phone at home there and you want to scan that QR code, that'll take you to the shot maps from the game. And you can chat along with us and have the information in your hand as we're going along. I felt that to quote Derek Walser, very loosey-goosey at the back end. You know, we give up opportunities that we wouldn't normally, that we haven't been given up through that period of 13 games. You know, this team hasn't become a bad team overnight. This team is a little devoid of confidence at the minute, and it's a little devoid of defence at the minute. But might have been Austin Matthews was being interviewed on the TV last night after a game, and he goes, you know, hockey's about keeping the puck out of your own net, because you will eventually score. But we're not scoring enough goals to win games at the minute. One goal away to Steelers. Like, we're 9-1 in our last 10 against Steelers before Saturday night. So let's not say we haven't had their number for a while. So, you know, due one, karma, whatever. These things eventually catch up with you. And unfortunately, it caught up with us in big style. We're putting ourselves through that 13-game streak, especially towards the latter half of it. Adam Keefe was very strong in saying that we've been starting on time, and it's key to start on time. And there's a few games here lately we just haven't started on time. We've got ourselves into a hole that we can't dig ourselves out of. 3 down against Sheffield away. Just, it's always going to be an uphill battle. They're stacked there. Like, make no doubt about it. End of the season, Steelers will be there and thereabouts for every competition going. And, you know, you can't put yourself in that size of a hole against them and expect to come out on the positive side.
Says Davey puts it there, and I'll run the goal here, but like, running 3 lines is one thing for the Giants, you know, out shooting them in their own barn is another thing for the Giants, but you've got to finish. Says,
yeah, you do. look, I didn't get to see the game fully on Saturday. I watched the first period. It's not good enough. That's it. You know, there's people listening to the show tonight expecting us to come out here and slag the boys off and slag everybody off involved. That's not going to happen. I don't care, you know, if they call me, you're basically bast. I am absolutely bast for this club. But the whole way that, you know, we are struggling right now, we are up, and in Adam's words, we are in one. We just cannot find an net. When you look at the stats from Saturday, and Davey's a big stats guy, Saturday's game, we talk about starting on time. The Steelers took their chances. They had 10 shots on target. They scored 3 goals. You know, Besko's his own biggest critic. I'm sure he'd basically know that you know, we certainly didn't do him any favors, and he didn't do himself any favors on Saturday. We all know that he's the best goaltender in this league. But he's struggling right now, and there's other guys around him struggling. I mean, you know, when you're just not feeling it, it's unfortunate that you're not getting the results. But that, make no mistake about what we are and where we are right now. We're 6 points behind the leaders. That's 3 wins. It's, you know, we've played 11 games or 12 games, whatever that is. It's not the end of the world where we are. When you look at our fan base, and, you know, you watch some of the drivel that's being put out on Twitter and Facebook and what have you, slagging off the boys and how he should go, and, you know, no passengers and this, that, and the other. You know, you're talking about people's jobs here. Yes, you know, somebody could lose your job very, very soon if things don't turn around. That's absolutely correct. But, you know, when I seen a quote on from somebody yesterday, I think it was, slagging off Jeff Mason. You know, the power play is crap. Since Jeff Mason came back, a power play is crap. Let me tell you something. You know, Adam Keefe works his tail off. Jeff Mason works his tail off. George is exactly the same. Stewie's there. And, you know, he got a full-time job as well. And he knocks his tail in. If they're all thinking that the coaches are coming just to make the numbers up, and then all of a sudden turn around and expect everything to fall apart and don't really care about the results, they're full of shit. I'm sorry for saying that. It really annoys my life out of me. When you see these guys slagging friends of yours off, like Jeff Mason, I'm not sitting for it. It's bang out of order.
What I say is,
sorry, Paddy. Very, very short memories. We have won 8 trophies out of the last 10 available. And when a little bit of results don't go your way, and then everybody jumps on the bandwagon, oh, that's the worst team we've ever had in your life. You've probably only been a fan for the last 6 months.
Hold on. Sorry, I have to cut in here. Yes, we have had a level of success over the last number of years that is like remarkable. We've won 3 league titles on the trot. We've won every trophy. We won the Grand Slam last year. But we're the first ones at the start of the season to say, that was last year. What have you done now? Right? I agree with you. It's no reason to go over the top. And as Davey often says, the old Babcock, don't get too high of the highs, don't get too low of the lows. But you know, people are going to be emotionally react. People are emotionally invested in this club, and people are going to react emotionally. They may not be right, but they're still going to react emotionally, and that's just the way shit is.
Look, Paddy, I absolutely agree with that, and I have no problem at all in basically people going out and, you know, having a conversation and saying about it. But then they wouldn't say booty a goose when you want to have a conversation about it. If I replied to that tweet that person put out,
that's Twitter.
What's that?
That's Twitter for you. That's how it goes. Yeah, that's Twitter.
Well, I'm not allowed to answer messages or say anything on it anymore. I just think we're probably I'm trying to think of the right word for it. We've been a victim of our own success.
Yes. Aaron Murphy will say later on in the interview, that's actually quite a good culture to have, is the fact that, you know, there is not an entitlement, but an expectation of success. And therefore, when it doesn't come our way, people get annoyed. Now, people just sometimes need to wind it in and realize that we're only 10 games into the season and there's some time to change things around. But like after Saturday's game, I had to sort of, you know, keep my phone in my pocket. I was paid off, you know what I mean? Because that's just the way sport is. You can't enjoy the successes unless you know how bad it is when you lose.
Paddy, you're absolutely right. But again, short memories. You know, say if we were playing like this at the end of the season and we're absolutely, you know, you're not getting the results and things aren't going your way and everybody jumps on the bandwagon, oh, you're never going to win the league with a team like that. Like they said the same thing last year. You know, we were 17 points behind the Guildford Flames.
100%.
It's early days. What I'm trying to get at is catch yourself on. You know, you've already said the title of the podcast, check yourself. Well done, Paddy, by the way. Sorry, Davey, that's very good. Before you wreck yourself. Give it a bit of time. It's never, I mean, you're 13 games in a row that we won, you know, including the 3 CHL games. And everybody's thinking the world, you know, it's fantastic. We're doing this, we're doing that and the other. And you start to lose a few games. It's not the end of the world. Just calm down. Keeper and Steve will get it right. Make no mistake about it.
Let's bring it back briefly to the game. But I do agree with you. And one comment I'll make before I bring it back to you, Davey, because I know you've got the shot map up here. One thing I'll say is, and I totally agree with you, you have to accept that you're going to lose, and you're going to have to accept you're going to go on a bad run. And we've had some horrible runs in the Belfast time, the Belfast Giants. We have both some horrible runs as results, and hopefully we get out of this one. Davey, you brought the shot map.
Actually, just at this time of last year, just the next couple of weeks, wasn't it? Yep. Just coming into the start of December, we had the doubleheader loss to Manchester home and home, and it was a pivotal point in the season. You know, changes were made, we had to kick on. Listen, it is an emotional game, and there's nobody more emotional. I've said about it before. I've got less emotional as I've got older, and you get more attached to the club, and you're slightly closer to people and the things that are happening. And you feel when I saw that one. It was obviously me says I jumped on that one about Macy the other day. For someone to question someone who's given his heart and soul to this club for 10 plus years, and when things haven't gone bad, let's not overreact for 3 weeks here, guys. 2.5 weeks, actually. But we need to get out of this funk really, really quick. And one thing we'd say, if we go back to the analytics on it, Paddy, there, if you've used your QR code, you'll have this in your hand in front of you. If you're looking at it on the screen, press this little from in the slot low down. Number of factors. Steelers quite good at boxing us out. Jazz maybe not just having that confidence to go in there and you know, vandalise that blue paint. A lot hitting Greenfield in the chest from, as you can see, top of the circles, blue line. No traffic in front. If he can see it, he's going to save it. It's the same with Tyler Pescarani. If he can see it, he'll save it. Unless they're down in the blue paint, which some of these goals were coming from. There's a 2-on-none against Besco the other night. We all collapsed to the boards. We give it away on their blue line. And we just don't defect a good enough back check. We make a couple of brain farts and go and make a bad decision on the back check. And it leaves two guys straight in front of Besco. Is that Besco's fault to not save a 2-on-none? No, I think you've got to look at the other guys on the ice as well. Defence starts from your three forwards. It always does. You defend as a six and you know, unfortunately for us on the night, we didn't do enough to win that game. And then obviously we take the trip across the road.
Let's get the post game from the coaches.
Poor. I thought Sheffield was very good. I thought we maybe had one or two shifts where we had some sustained ozone pressure, and that's just not our game. And on the defensive side of things, I mean, the scoring chances we gave up and the goals that we gave up are just not the way we play hockey. And we have to look at that. You know, it's obviously on me. Our preparation clearly was not good this week. And I'm going to have to take a look at that. And I'm also going to take a look at what is going on here and reassess here. But the reality is that game's over and we have a big response to come tomorrow. And you know, everybody's got to take a look in the mirror.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge win against a team that, you know, we believe will be there down the stretch, you know, for the whole 54 games for sure. So huge effort from us tonight. You know, our week was just okay. Thought we got a little bit better as the week went on. But just, again, ton of character in that room. I thought our first period we came out and did everything the right way, took advantage of the chances we got. We knew they were going to push back in the second, which they did. Penalty kill did an outstanding job, especially on that 5-on-3 after they scored up the first one on that five-minute power play there. And then, again, Greener made the saves we needed him to, and we didn't give them much in the third. So it was a huge, huge 60-minute win for us. You know, we needed a win like this against a top-end team, and tonight we got it.
Let's bounce on, lads. Highlights in that game are available from Steelers TV. We go to Sunday night, and not much better for the Belfast Giants. They did take a 2-goal lead in the game, but they subject to a 4-2 defeat at the hands of the Manchester Storm. Giants goals coming from our soon-to-be guest Mark Cooper and McLeod. The Storm goals coming from Critchlow, Earhart, Critchlow again, and an empty netter for Will Merchant. Besco in nets, 41 shots against and 3 goals against, 41 shots against in Manchester. I can't get over that. Wagger in the other was 29 shots against and 2 goals against. Oliver Truswell and the best referee from the Northeast, as his mum told me, Steve Brown, were your referees. Says 2 weeks ago we owned this ice at times. This week we go 2 goals up and Besco faces 41 shots.
Yeah, again, a tough night. You get the opening goal, you know, you're sitting watching it on, at that stage, they're sitting watching on flash scores and sitting, good start. You know, it's always a difficult building to go into.
Yep.
And obviously losing Ben Lake from the night before didn't help. We're banged up right now, and it's horrendous where we are. And just, it's a difficult building to go into. And it's annoying when we beat them. You just touched on it, Paddy. We beat them convincingly 2 weeks ago. Yep. And that, to me, that looks like they wanted revenge for that immediately. Like, obviously, going 1-0 down, they just regrouped very well and came back and won the third period. And unfortunately, right now, as I say, we're just in one. We're just not playing well. We're not finding the net. We're finding they're difficult to score goals. And these players are capable of putting the puck in the net. The net hasn't changed size. You know, it's not. Yes, you've got goaltenders in between, and Wenninger's a good goalie. I just can't put my finger on it with where we are and what we've done wrong between coming out of the middle of October when we played against Bolzano, Pardubice, and kind of the third one for the CHL. And all of a sudden, we've lost six out of the last seven games. It's very frustrating. But again, Aaron Fox just touched on it. They know that the Belfast Giants are going to be chasing them down and where they are coming towards us 54 games at the end of it. Like last year, we're 17 points behind at one point from the Guildford Flames, and we caught them by on Valentine's Day. There's a long, long, long way to go. And it's really important that we start turning around this weekend against the Glasgow Clan. But again, that weekend itself, it's not good enough. That's beyond it. It's not good enough. And I know people are frustrated. I'm frustrated as well. I know Adam's frustrated. I was with him today for nearly 45 minutes. I know they're frustrated. It's annoying. It's frustrating. And it's going to be turned around, believe you me.
I didn't get to, it's a rare occasion where I don't get to Manchester at a pre-arranged sort of birthday party to go to. So I was kind of disappointed not to get there initially and sort of madly relieved I wasn't there, because you know how angry I get at that arena when if the Giants lose, you boys get the brunt of it on WhatsApp. But Divi, you know, I highlighted there as well, and maybe you've looked at it at the regard statistically or the shot maps. It's not often we go in there and we're sub and our goalie's subject to 41 shots.
No, and if you, I know I put little bits and pieces of numbers in our WhatsApp group over the last while, but you look at all the games we've had, right back to Cardiff away, which was quite near the start of the league season. From then, we haven't given a team over 20 shots on goal. I think the last time we were in Manchester, we gave up 15 shots. I think our own count on Sunday night was 18 shots against the Steelers. 40 plus shots in Manchester. Now, we put ourselves in quite a strong position. We got that goal towards the end of the first period. We came and we scored on the first shift in the second period. We started the second period on time. And I think just conceding that goal quite quickly afterwards, there's a little mental, you know, there's a little mental thing. Adam Keefe was mentioning in his game about mentality there. Suddenly feel under pressure, and we conceded that second goal. Everything in that changing room in the second period break would have been about going out, re-establishing control of the game, doing what we were doing well through the end of the first period and the start of the second period. And you should move away on like stupid things like XG. You should move away from a team like Manchester because you're creating more opportunities. And we were in that first 40 minutes of the game. We concede on pretty much the first shift, if it's not the first shift of the third period. And there's a bit of a collective heads going down and, oh no, now we need another two goals. And from a team that's sort of struggling to get one at the minute, I know it had two in the game, but now you need two in the third period alone, and then you start to push the envelope, and it opens up what's still a small ice pad, but it opens it up for a bit of a track meet. And unfortunately for us, we couldn't climb that hill and they come away and get the empty netter towards the end of the game. We had our opportunities, yeah. We were a bit more inside. I don't know if I can share this very, very quickly, because I know you want to move on. Sure the shot map. You know, we were much lower down than we were in Sheffield. We got inside a wee bit more. You can see where the two goals come from. In the sort of slot between the hash marks there. That's where you gotta get to score goals. We say it often, way, way over 90% of goals in hockey come from between the hash marks and the blue paint. You know, you gotta get low, you gotta get dirty, you gotta get greasy. And the Belfast Giants just need to go. Davey Phillips talked about it last week. Dryden Dye talked about it the other week. Different guys that have been on through the podcast. When things are bad, you go to work. You go back to basics. You believe in your processes. You believe in your systems. You believe in the coaching. That's where people are. The comments are full of changes. That's when changes need made. If people aren't buying into processes, aren't buying into what the coaches want to do, that's when you change them. Guys have to go to work tomorrow, put everything in for the badge on the front of that jersey. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as a fan.
Tell us this, you know, maybe you know statistically, I was just looking at that because you mentioned regards like XG and stuff like that. And obviously the new analytics thing that goes with the Elite League and the Elite League website. Where does the expected win come from? Because the expected win for this game against the Storm And this is after it comes down to 64% us, 36% them. And I assume that's down statistically as to what went on in the game.
This is still, so the XG and stuff on the Elite League site, what I would say about it is it's still a very early raw data. It's that will build up over a number of seasons to give a prettier picture. That is based on things like we blocked 11 shots, I think they had. So they had 40-something shots on plus 11 or 12 that we blocked. It's down to grade A chances, whereabouts. So if I pulled up the Manchester shot chart, for example, their shots are maybe from the outside. So it's lower percentage chances. I don't know if you can scroll down there a wee bit, Paddy, to where it just keep scrolling a wee minute. Maybe try to analyze this a wee bit for you. Keep going, keep going. So stop there, actually. See if I can read that. No, go back. Nope. Down the other way. Go, that, keep going.
Sorry.
See, just here. So you've got, look at my eyesight, it's gone. What does that say? High danger, mid danger, low danger. That's the type. Oh, thanks very much. Going to blow it up. I feel like an old man here. Can I get any closer? It's where the shots come from. There's a myriad of factors. But if you go on down to the story of the game, and you would have seen in the Steelers game from the night before, we had sort of seven power play minutes. We went on a 5-on-3. That's when your story of the game will, your red line will almost go vertical, because you're expected to score more in that period. You're getting shots on. They have less players on the ice. Lots of factors in there, but that's how the story of the game one works.
Let's get the thoughts of both coaches.
Yeah, I thought we had an all right start, but obviously the goals got us some confidence. And then, two mistakes, and they end up in the back of our net, and we're back to 2-2. Tried to rally the troops for a big third period, come out, get scored on first shift, and then the head sink. Right now we got a defeatist attitude, kind of a loser mentality, and that's got to change. We'll change it one way or another.
Yeah, I thought really for the full 60, I thought we were really good. First period was back and forth, like you said. They got a goal in the second, their first shift on just a missed assignment, and here you find ourselves in a 2-0 hole, but I thought the guys did a great job tonight to just stay in the course. There wasn't really a time in the game where we got off script, which has kind of been the MO. We haven't had that consistent 60, and I thought for the full 60 we were dialed in. To a man, we played very well tonight. We were thorough. I thought our D zone was outstanding. We helped Wenny out, and then I thought our home form hasn't been great this year, and I thought that was definitely our best showing against a great team over there. I know they've lost a couple in a row, but Belfast is a winning team over there, and they're a great team, and we found a way tonight. Like I said, I thought it was a great home performance. It was much needed. We did a great job getting pucks to the net. I think we had over 40 shots tonight, and tips and screens, and got to the net and made it tough on Besko. We made some saves, but we stuck with it. And then the third, outstanding from us. I don't think we gave him much. Big goal, obviously, by Critch there, first shift to kind of set the tone, and we just stuck with it. And big 2 points for our group.
There was an interview, Davey, that's come out today from Adam McKendry, where he's chatting to Kiefer in the Belfast Telegraph, and Kiefer's not backwards about coming forwards on the with regards to the changes that potentially need to be made. Are we expecting changes now?
Changes, as David Bowie said. Yeah, well, they're afoot. Apart from anything, we've talked about injuries, Oliver Cooper injury, Ben Lake now missed the game at the weekend. We've talked about Whisk, we've talked about Dicko, you've got Petr Cech playing for us. There could be just changes required due to bodies down, but for the Belfast Giants to lose 6 out of 7 games is something that, the coaches will be sitting down, they'll be scouring the market to see what's available there, and if there's somebody they think will be a better fit than what's there at the minute, then we'll make that move for sure.
But then there's a level of motivation, because adversity is something that really challenges a coach. And Kiefer's been, probably the top, if not the top coach in the Elite League now for a number of seasons. Now he's, as you say, 6 in the last 7 have been lost, 1 win in the last 7. This is where his chops come forward as being, show what a coach he is.
Is that for me, Paddy? Sorry?
Oh, yes, it is.
Sorry. No, you're absolutely right. Davey's just touched on it there. I mean, I know that Adam and Steve and the coaching staff are always looking around at players that, if somebody's going to make us better, they'll keep it in mind and maybe go back to them at one point and see where we are. But with all the injuries that we have, I mean, right now, we are banged up. Make no mistake about it. We are definitely banged up. It's 8 players on the injury list right now. And hopefully, you know, we can get a bit of help here soon. And whether that means guys coming back or whether we're where we are, I just don't know. But there's a lot of moving parts. And again, at one point, Steve asked me this morning, he said, did I have my skates with me? So, you know, you're definitely in the dung if you're basically asking a 50-year-old to put his skates back on, even just to help him out of practice. That ain't happening.
You're not 50, says. Come on.
50, mate. Absolutely. Stop taking the piss.
Probably a good time to jump in and say that an old girlfriend of yours is also 50 today, says. We should give her a wee shout out there.
Happy birthday,
my sister, 50 today, so happy birthday, sister. I must phone you to wish you happy birthday. Happy birthday from your old boyfriend downstairs, sir.
Right, highlights from that game, if you want to go and watch them, Storm TV on YouTube, and we batter ahead. Now, a few weeks ago, the Belfast Giants brought in, usually, you know, Michael Barr's the man who carries the subway cannon around the ice. But the last home game that we had, they decided to bring in a man who, local well-known comedian, a man, a podcaster, and now a subway cannon handler. How do you, mate? Kieran Bartlett.
What's happening? He's all right.
Not too bad. Listen, I'm not putting this on you, right?
Yeah. But
from when you went onto the ice with that and fired Subway sandwiches up into the crowd, we've not won a game since. How do you?
it's definitely my fault. Like, people were so aghast at my Subway firing skills that they just decided to lose the game in the last minute. That was hard to watch, to be fair. That wee dirty breakaway with 47 seconds left or something against Cardiff was absolutely minging. Didn't like that, but I had a great time apart from it.
Had you been to Giants before?
Yeah, I used to go quite regularly when I was a bit younger. Because I follow the NHL quite closely. I'm a Penguins fan, so I watch quite a lot of that. Like, to be fair, in my younger, more irresponsible years, I would have watched. I would have stayed up and watched quite a lot of it. When it was on like BT Sport and that sort of thing, and then now I just tend to watch. They do like these little sort of 10-minute digests of the game, and I sort of watch quite a lot of those. Like, so I used to go watch Giants quite a lot, and then suppose coming into the pandemic, that probably basically since the pandemic I've been busier since it ended, because comedy kind of has kicked off a bit, so only been a couple of times, but always good to, oh mate, what a time it was. Like, always good to sort of get down there, but great crack to be up in the wee special media bit. That's where I like to be, you know. Nice seats, nobody asking me for mad interaction at a moment's notice. Like, so do you know what's devastating about this video here that you're showing? See the last one I fired, and Michael, oh, there's a moment. I know what I've done. Michael told me to load up the last one with it. So he said to me, train me well. He said, load it up 3 seconds of gas for the normal one and then 5 for the last one, so it could really fire it across the ice from the center spot. And if you watch the bit when I'm on the center spot, I dip the barrel for a wee second just now. I had to move the sandwich down in front of the barrel, and it just didn't fly the way we wanted it to. Somebody messaged me being like, we all know that you fired that last one into the wall so you could have it for yourself, you know.
do you know what I like about that? Sorry, Davey, just before you come in, do you know what I like about that last one as well? I like the duck from Fimla Cool and Barzo.
Yeah.
You're going there with a sandwich in the face.
Yeah, he doesn't trust my look at this. Oh, it's top runner. He doesn't trust my aim. Yeah. That was class. That was unbelievable crack. To be fair,
it's quite a while since we've had someone that can handle an RPG like that on the ice. Not saying anything about training, but I love the analytic. I love the analytical side there, where you've gone home and you've thought about tipping the barrel, and you know, I could have done this. So if you get back to do it again, you know, all the people at the back arena will know where to stand to get the. Did you notice any change, Kieran, between, or Dr. Bartlett, actually, did you notice any change between when you went previously and you went now? Because Simon above you there is very involved in helping fill that arena week on week, and like to have over 6,500 people there. It's a real game night experience now.
Well, it's brilliant. The new lights are unbelievable, and I love all the extra, all the extra crack, because the gate, I mean, you're mostly, obviously, you're going for the game. Do you know what I mean? But all the extra crack, all the charitable stuff, like the 50-50 and all that, and like the, you know, do you know what I actually really liked? The wee parachute prizes or something that I enjoyed, because it reminded me of like when we were wee lads, we used to tie soldiers, not actual soldiers, toy soldiers, to Tesco bags and stuff, police bags. And like parachute them out of the top windows of the house. So it kind of reminded me of that. But I thought all that stuff, the, like I say, the new lights, the big screens, because it was weird. Because I think I said, you kitschy about the scoreboard, but like you were saying the scoreboard's been gone forever, right? But like for whatever reason, the last time I was there wasn't that long ago. Like it was only, must have been coming up towards the, I think I was there around Christmas. Before the pandemic, you know, so like 2019, around that Christmas time, I was there for a game, and it obviously wasn't there, but in my mind, do you know what I mean?
I'll try and find out when it was taken down for you, but it's definitely been down for at least six, seven seasons, maybe. Yeah,
probably has. Here, Kieran, one thing I want to ask you. So, obviously, we've been doing this podcast since, I think, like, 2005, maybe, Paddy, something like that, 2005, so a long time, and obviously the Belfast Giants, we've talked often about it being like as much of a sports club as a bit of a social experiment, in that it's a place where, you know, you can throw your baggage at the door and it doesn't matter where you come from, a bit like comedy, and now the comedy podcast has really taken off for you guys with I suppose stage shows as such shutting down during COVID, and then the advent of the podcast, that's really helped sort of put you guys into the picture.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've you know, most of us have been doing comedy, like most of the guys that I'm sort of friends with that are about my age in comedy, we've all been doing stand up for, you know, 10 or 12 years pretty much. And even a couple of the younger lads have been doing it for 7 or 8 years. So like, you know, some people would have known who we were, and then like we all had different podcasts, you know, at different times. I sort of stopped doing mine a few years before the pandemic, and then I wasn't really doing that much stand-up. I was more focused on like writing scripts and things like that. But then during the pandemic, there seemed to be this demand, you know, especially for Shane's Table Me podcast, and so he would have had me on quite a bit. And then from there, people said, you know, oh, you should get your own podcast back on. I was like, right, but I sort of wanted to do something, you know, I wanted us to at least sort of do something that was a wee bit different. So, like, we don't do it every episode now, but we usually play some sort of game on there, FIFA or Mortal Kombat or something, just to sort of help it stand out a wee bit. And I like having the guests on that. And then, you know, we'll do maybe like a Patreon episode or something once a week that's sort of more just like me on my own just playing games and stuff, but like computer games, like not playing like, you know, mental mind games with people or something, like, you know, not telling them they've left the gas on or something. But I think that the pandemic definitely sort of drove people trying to find comedy online, and then the people who were doing that, we've kind of benefited them from when things have opened up again. There's definitely like a big rush towards live events. Now, part of me also thinks there's a couple of factors in people going out to more events, because now that the main sort of thrust of the pandemic seems to be over, you know, thank God, is like, you know, I think people go to these live events more than they might have done before when they maybe would have gone out for a drink. There's definitely fewer people drinking as much. So that's partly to do with the pandemic, but also partly to do with this sort of generation that are sort of 18 to 21 now, maybe don't have that same drinking culture. You know, even when people come to the gigs now, you tend to see a lot of people drinking soft drinks more than pints. So that's definitely something that I think's helped as well. You know, it's just the change of generation as well as the pandemic, you know.
So basically what you're saying is all those 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds now, when they were 3 years ago in the middle of a pandemic, they didn't get the opportunity to grab a bottle of Buckfast and sit down in the Moat Park.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, I think people my age and probably like all your ages too, like, remember doing things like that. And so, like, I don't think it's something, you know, I don't think it's something that as many people seem to be doing. But then I'm not hanging around those parks anymore, so I don't know. But it just definitely seems to be, people seem to be keener to sort of spend their money on live tickets. I mean, because, mate, there is no explanation for it other than that, as far as I'm concerned, because I am essentially doing the same stuff in maybe a slightly more conducive way, like, you know, conducive to people coming to the event. I mean, like, you know, a slightly friendlier version of what I used to do pre-pandemic. Well, it is essentially, I mean, I'm the same person, it's the same comedy, but like before the pandemic, I did a gig not that long before it, and struggled to sell like 90 tickets. And it was, you know, like I was on one of the days coming up that gig, I got a load of the paper tickets printed out myself and literally did a run around Belfast handing tickets out to people because I was really struggling to get them to go to that event. And now the tickets are, you know, if I put on a 90-seat event now, like we do ones in Bangor, my work in progress shows for the big show, and they sell out like pretty fast without any promotion. And it's like, I can't believe that, and I'm very thankful for it. But if I dig too much into why it happened, I'll probably go mad. But it definitely does strike me that it has to be, you know, a combination of, say, the pandemic and people want to go to the events, but also then maybe because of the pandemic, people see you online, you have that bit more of a profile, and people then sort of feel like they're kind of part of it with you, you know. That's definitely what my experience of it has been anyway, you know.
It's very similar to what we are. I mean, pre-pandemic, we're bringing in really good numbers for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Now, especially since the start of last season, we've really taken off. I mean, we're averaging over 6,500 people at every game. For Saturday night's game against Glasgow this week coming, it's pretty much sold out. We're down to single seats. So I absolutely understand what you're talking about. I just wanted to touch on, obviously, you're back in the arena Friday night. The same show as what you had a couple of weeks ago. If we can work it out, do you want to try and do the subway cannon again from the stage?
From the stage on Friday?
Aye.
Oh, my God, yeah. If we can work that out, that would be unbelievable. People would freak out. That would be epic, because we're trying a couple of slightly different things at this one. So, like, for instance, I have a different support act. I've added a magician as well to the show, which is, as I said, absolutely mad. And you know, basically, I had this magician on my podcast. And I love magic, by the way. And this guy blew me away. He's called the Magic Mod. And I thought, like Mod as in MOD. And Magic Mod, MAUD, is an ice cream shop. But we had him on. He was unbelievable. And I said, here, do 10 minutes of this at the show. So he's on. And my brother's playing music at it. And then we'll have, like, Aaron Butler doing support. And then there's a couple of wee changes just in extra things that we've done. I'm going to change a wee bit of the set, but that would be absolutely epic, to be fair. Yeah, thank you.
I'm pretty sure. I think I seen Michael comment in there a few minutes ago that he's going to the show on Friday night. So I'll reach out to Michael after this, and then we'll give you a call and see what we can do for you. Then we'll have a conversation with our sponsors at Subway to see if we can get some extra 6-inch rolls for you.
That would be unbelievable. Thanks very much. I think you know, Subway should know that in many ways I've sponsored them for quite a long time. Long time fan, you know, of Subway. I get the same thing every time I go there to you, which if I make a change to my Subway order, I think, you know, something will happen to my family. Like, so I'm very pleased. Mate, that sounds unbelievable. I'd be really chuffed to do that.
Davey was at Subway today. What did you do?
I had an Emperor wrap on a cup of tea. Yeah.
What are you getting the Emperor? What's that?
Chicken, barbecue sauce, lettuce, tomato, pickles, crispy onions, teriyaki sauce, and a bag of Monster Munch, of course.
See, you've lost me. There are two sauces and a sandwich. You can't do that.
It's a preset. It's like I didn't ask for it.
They just do that, do they?
You have it like where it's changing your Subway order is one of those things, like, you know, if you're in trouble, blink. You know what I mean? If you went in, you ordered, know that you're actually in trouble, and like, you know, your family have been kidnapped or something. Then you're
if I was in the Subway on Botanic, and I order anything that has tomato on it, they will know that I'm there under duress. You know, there's no chance that's ever happening. Like.
That's what it sounds like.
So yeah, I don't understand tomatoes in a sandwich. Sorry, what was that?
No, I was just saying, you don't understand tomatoes in a sandwich. I'm with you. I don't understand tomatoes anyway.
It's like putting a wee shot of water into a sandwich. Why would you do that? So go on here, lads. Come on. Is there any chance we can soak this bread and then make a sandwich out of it? It's very weird.
That or cucumber. Can't have cucumber in a
sandwich. Yeah, cucumber wrecks it as well. Do you know, mate, I made us some sandwiches. We were going on a wee drive. A long drive. We were going to Kerry a load of weeks ago there, end of October, just for a few days. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to be a warrior here. And on the night before it, I made us a load of sandwiches. And I salted them. Not like loads, just a wee touch. And it wrecked them because I think it brought out all the moisture and the lettuce you put in. And it just... I don't know why we're talking about this. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right.
No, it was a nightmare.
We're gonna let you go in a second, mate. But the really appreciate you coming on and joining us. Davey put me onto your podcast recently, and I have to say, I really thoroughly enjoying it. Especially that one, the clip that I put up there for people watching on YouTube, talking about the black taxis going up to Lady Bird. Do you know what? I've never been up that far. I used to get the number 14 bus from Castle Street up there, and I always because I grew up in Anderson's Town, I just got off. Food center, just got off there and just like never been up that far.
So I see you're living the dream there, because you could get any West Belfast bus, you know what I mean. I had to specifically get the Ladybird because it was like at the end of the line for me, but because I'm actually on Black's Road, so I was a full nightmare. But here I was gonna say there, thanks a million for this. Also, I've been trying recently. I bought the latest. I don't know if you play video games, like, but I bought the latest NHL game.
Aye.
It's not great. Like, I don't know why it's 70 quid, and it's ruined. Like, it's ruined me. No one plays it online. You can't get a game. It's devastating. I don't know if you play it.
On there though, can't you?
Sorry?
You can play as the Giants on there though, can't you?
You can. That's what I was doing. So, like, I would either play as the Giants or as the Penguins, and I started playing as the Giants, and I thought maybe this isn't working because I'm playing as a team from this league and not the NHL. So I switched to the Penguins, and it just doesn't matter. It's just like, and then you can, there's websites like, man, I'm so boring. I go on websites, look up how many people are playing it online. It's like at any moment, there's like 30 people playing it in the world. So, I mean, it's basic. Like, I mean, there's literally more people cleaning their ears at the same time than there are playing that game. Like, it's devastating.
Well, if you're looking at Challenger for NHL 23, you're at the right podcast for that. I'm sure you'll get a few people wanting to jump on here now and challenge you for it.
100%. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm on an Xbox, so that's the only thing I would say. A lot of people seem to be on PlayStation, but I think you can play across them now. But the game the other night was great. I see I see that they have a game coming up against against the Steelers, like in the next Wednesday. Is that in 2 weeks?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, aye. And that's usually, is that still the grudge match that I remember it being?
We hate them, yes.
I remember hitting them deeply for a long time when I was a teenager.
Good lad.
That'll be a big game. Listen, Kieran, well, really appreciate you joining us. The show this
anytime.
Friday 24th at the SSE. Still tickets available for anybody?
We're right down there now. Like, so it's just the last few. I mean, the seats that are left are either single seats, so any serial killers fancy coming, join in. And otherwise you can jump on. There's like groups of seats are still sort of at the back there. They're not even that dear. Those seats, to be fair, I think are about 20 quid. So a couple of those left, so if you fancy it, jump in. Be great.
And you might even get a Subway sandwich. And also in the No Blasters, you can go, and also you can catch Kieran on the No Blasters podcast, which I kind of vouch for. It's just really, really good, really, really funny show. Mate, really, really appreciate you coming on and joining us.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the rest of your night. And give us a wee shout here about, I've never said this sentence before. Give me a shout about firing those sandwiches. All right. See you later.
Cheers. Thanks, big thanks to Kieran Bartlett for joining us. And yep, 24 this Friday at the SSE Arena if you want to get down and see his latest big show. Funny guy. Right. Let's batter ahead. We are joined now by the captain of the Belfast Giants. Please welcome back to A View from the Bridge, Mark Cooper. How are you doing, Coops?
I'm good, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hear us okay?
Yeah.
Cool.
How are we doing? Sorry about the little I was out with the dog. I came on late. Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it, mate. We really appreciate you joining us. This is the sort of thing where last year when we lost two in a row against the Manchester Storm, I was straight on to David Goodwin saying, you're the captain, mate. You know, it's a leadership role. Here we are. We're in a bit of a funk at the minute. Your take on it as a captain?
Yeah, I think a few of those games we've played really well. The home games in particular, Guildford and Cardiff, I'd say we might have deserved better. And the other ones, I just don't think we were good enough, to be honest. I don't know if – I think we're lacking a bit of confidence right now. And I think once we're back, kind of getting confident, and we've been putting the work in this week so far. And once we're back confident, I think we can get on a roll like we were on that 13-game stretch just a few weeks ago.
It's, you know, especially going to the games, you know, the game against Manchester is a funny one because obviously that was, you know, the game we won there 2 weeks ago. We go two goals up and then struggle, you know, especially defensively. We mentioned earlier on how, you know, there were 41 shots on Besko, which is not like us at all. What's the atmosphere in a room when things are going like that? Is it just a determination to try to get out of it, or is there, you know, it's just sort of a frustration that's not working?
Yeah, I think everyone's trying, and I think just we're gripping the sticks a little too tight, and maybe a bit of like a scared to make a mistake, scared to lose mentality, which I don't think is a good one. And I think the guys understand that, like, the expectations here are high, and we have those expectations, and we were riding a high just a few weeks ago. So I think the room's okay. Like, I think we just got to try and stay more even keel and not get too high, not get too low within games, and then even over the season. Other than that, I think we'll put the work in this week, and it's exciting to be back home on Saturday. I heard Kitchy say that it's almost sold out, so hopefully we can get things back on track on Saturday at home.
Oops, you've nearly answered kind of the questions I wanted to go along the lines of anyway. We don't want to be too negative and things.
Yeah.
Confidence isn't something you can train. Confidence is either there or it's not. Momentum is funny in hockey, how you can go 13 in a row and suddenly tank for a few weeks. Davey Phillips was on last week, and we've referenced other players that came on. It's just about going to work and getting the basics right here.
Yeah. I think, like, our foundation is a defense first, defense type mentality, and and the goals we've been giving up are just defensive lapses or just mistakes that kind of can be in our control. I don't think I think we can compete with every team in this league. I think we saw the best on Saturday in Sheffield, and they're definitely really skilled and stuff, but I think as we've shown earlier in the year against CHL teams and other teams in our league, that we can play with anyone. And I think once we get back on track and get our confidence back, which we will, it'll come through hard work, and I think we'll be good to go. It's early enough in the season where we still believe in everything and believe in all three trophies, and the guys, the returning guys and the new guys, all really want that for ourselves.
Okay. I mean, obviously we're struggling right now. You've already mentioned it, and your guys are gripping their sticks out a little bit harder. Going into the weekend against Glasgow at home, and who to play away?
Nottingham away.
It's another two difficult games. Obviously, with everything that's happened over in Nottingham, this is going to be their first competitive game, so they're going to be really up for this. What sort of challenge are you expecting this weekend?
I think a good one. I think Glasgow's coming off a big win against Sheffield, and I think they've won both this weekend, actually. So they're gonna have their stuff, and I think that's good for us. It'll be tough, and we'll know, and we'll prepare as best as we can, and hopefully we can get on them early. And I think a big start's huge, and I'm sure the crowd will get us rejuvenated. And always coming back to the SSE after a little road trip is a good feeling, and getting in that new locker room and the vibes there, and playing in front of our own crowd is always really a real special. And then Sunday obviously is going to be a tough one. Nottingham's first game back. I'm sure they'll have a sold out building, but I think part of us is just looking one game at a time right now to get us out of this funk.
You know, looking ahead, as I say, you're only 12 games into the league season. We're only 6 points behind the Sheffield Steelers, who are, you know, three wins, and you're right back in it again. Obviously starts this Saturday against the Clan. Where we are right now, we're down a lot of bodies. Obviously, you know, there's quite a few injuries around the camp at the minute. But it's just a matter of getting the skates back on again tomorrow morning and starting your prep for the weekend.
Yeah, I think Adam or Kiefer has been on us all year about like we're going to go through ups and downs with bodies, and we're a next man up kind of mentality, and you've seen it over the last couple of years. We've played short, and I think 2 years ago against Nottingham, we had seven forwards or something playing, and we ended up winning at home. So I think we can, it's an opportunity for everyone to just step up and maybe be in a different role and show everyone what they got in a different role. And some guys who maybe haven't played as much will get some more ice time and stuff. And it's a great opportunity. And I think everyone's ready for it.
As captain, Coops, you know, obviously your role is one of leadership. You know, how do you approach it with regards to motivating the rest of the boys in the room?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a huge rah-rah vocal guy. I try to lead more by example and my actions on the ice. And I think really we just got to take it shift by shift and play by play. Like, you're going to make mistakes. It's hockey. It's a fast game. And you can't let that trickle into the next shift or the next period. I think you just got to play one shift, move on, and like, everyone makes mistakes. I think it's we're in our own head a little bit, and it's trickling into our next play, where I think the mentality should be make a mistake. It's okay. Just respond and be better the next shift and try not to make the same mistake over and over again, which I think that's kind of how I try and approach the game. I've definitely made a ton of mistakes in my career, and I just try to like reset, approach the game. It's a new game every shift and a new challenge.
That's it, Coops. Last week's gone. Pucks in the bin. Positivity here on in. So This is last one for me. This is a bit of a FaceTime. Randy and Lillian probably watching. You want to say hello to mom and dad back home before you go?
I think my dad's flying home from Florida, so I don't know.
Oh, wow.
He won't be watching it live, but he grabbed some sand the last couple of days. They'll for sure, whether they're tuned in right now or watching it live, or they'll watch it back for sure. They always watch all your guys' shows, and they love it. So it's glad to come on whenever you guys need me.
Fantastic, mate. Well, listen, we really appreciate your time. Hopefully, you know, I'm sure it's been a tough week of training. I'm sure you have been put through the ringer these last few days to sort of get you
ready. The whip was brought out this morning, but the guys enjoyed it. We got through it together, so it was good. We needed it.
Just one more question for me. Between you and Sis, how's the battle going for ringing the crossbar?
I think I'm one or two up, but I am.
Yours inquiry. Yeah.
You're one up on this year, but you still haven't paid for the three for last year.
So he's two down.
Technically,
it ends at the end of the year.
No, okay, we'll pay your debt then.
Yeah. I'll bring you $3 tomorrow. You take cash?
Absolutely. Okay. No problem.
Last time we were out, Simon tends to always hit this crossbar in his practice shots and then goes 0-for-5. So
I think it's 1-for-5.
We were both 1-for-5 last time.
The best one was when we were in Shillefteå last year. I went 4-for-5.
Yeah.
In Shillefteå,
the ice was really crispy there.
Yeah.
You've been talking about that for about 3 years.
We're gonna be talking about for another 3 years.
Remember? You wanted to play in the SHL, Kitchy.
Show all over it.
Coops, listen, appreciate your time, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Coop. Thank you.
See ya.
Al Guinness was said hello.
Yeah, he's asleep behind me somewhere. See ya.
Big thanks to Mark Cooper for taking the time and joining us. And for, you know, it's good that the captain comes up and has a chat with us here in A View from the Bridge. And we really appreciate his time. Bit of news, gents, before we got one more guest. A bit of news before we get there. No Dops, other than the one we've already talked about thus far. So well done, everybody. League news, big weekend for the Scottish teams. Glasgow, Dundee and Fife, all with 4-point weekends, with Glasgow taking a big win away to the Steelers on Sunday night. Fife looked strong with a couple of 4-3 victories over the Blaze, despite one game having a lovely Michigan goal from Kobe Roth for the Blaze. If I know that the Elite League have stuck that on their YouTube, well worth watching. Nice little goal. The Panthers returned to the ice with the Adam Johnson Memorial game, an exhibition game we mentioned last week with Matt Ginn. They played the Storm and it finished 4-4. They've also, Panthers have signed a new player in former Eisbären Berlin D-man Simon Dupree, with whom he won 2 back-to-back DEL championships. He also played in the NHL, but that doesn't bother me. His back-to-back championships with the Eisbären Berlin, and he's now come in with Victor Bjorken moving on from the Nottingham Panthers. As is tradition on A View from the Bridge, we are 10 games into the season, which means that it's only now that we bring up the league table. The Sheffield Steelers, Sheffield Steelers have played 10, won 5.
Don't zoom in too much. Kids would disappear.
The Cardiff Devils, 10 games played, 14 points. And Storm are sitting third with 11 games played, 14 points. The Stars, the Panthers, the Clan, the Flyers all sit above the Belfast Giants, who are in 8th. But as Simon mentioned earlier on the show, we are only 6 points off top. Yes, we've played one extra game, but we have only played 10 games this season. Guildford are in 9th, and the Coventry Blaze are the strongest team in the league, having had to hold everybody else up as they sit in 10th. An embryonic league table, Davey. Nothing much to read from that, other than the fact that maybe, you know, the Belfast Giants, as we know, probably need to start to pick things up from here.
Hey, we just need to turn our form upside down and turn that table upside down, as Alan Brett has put in the comments here. You know, we're 3 wins out of first. The boys have been working hard this week. You've heard your captain talking there. He's fronted up, told you how hard they're working, and they're going to put this right. And every confidence in the coaching staff, every single one of them, and every single one of those players to turn this around.
Other than the Belfast Giants, is anything on there surprise you?
Yeah, I'm the Storm, and you know they've started the season really, really well. You know, obviously, you know, friend of the show, Matt Genny's real, real top lad. He's done a great job, and the way he's recruited, and
he's watching. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt. He is.
Of course, he's watching. They won.
Of course. Never thought of that.
No, actually, hold on. Then I will say somebody else. Dundee Stars.
Mark Lefebvre's Favors watching too. Hey,
Mark. For God's sake. do you know what? Just take it off the graphic. I'm not interested anymore.
Fair enough. Cardiff Devils, following a slow start, have qualified for the final of the Continental Cup in January. They progressed.
Pete's watching. Hi.
They progressed in their group with Nomad Astana, and both teams will face the Herning Blue Fox from Denmark and our old friends in GKS Katowice, and they're the four teams that will play in the final of this year's IIHF Continental Cup. I don't think it's in January, but I don't think there's a venue as yet. No doubt the Cardiff Devils will be chasing that, hoping that they can do it for them. And that's about it for the news. And we move on. Giants against Clan is this weekend, Saturday at 7 p.m. Obviously, last week, and we're right here, I say this very same thing. Obviously, last week we had a conversation about how, you know, what's wrong with the Glasgow Clan, and now they're sitting above us in the league. But anyway, they play tomorrow night, Wednesday night, down in Guildford, and then they travel to face us at the SSE Arena Saturday at 7 p.m. Earlier today, I had a chance to chat with the head of hockey operations, and it's head of hockey ops and communication. Senior analyst is what it is. And that's our old friend, Aaron Murphy. Aaron, what a turn in fortunes for the Glasgow Clan.
Yeah, look, everyone, every weekend, everyone wants the four-point weekend, right? That's the goal for all 10 teams, and obviously that can't happen every weekend. But if you look at the way the Clan have been playing, it's not just a four-point weekend. The weekend before was not good enough. Everyone knew it wasn't good enough. There was high emotions and all that stuff. But if you look at some of the overtime losses and the shootout losses, the way we're trying to play, it's not always easy, especially when you have the likes of Combs and Sanchow. We had another guy out last week. I mean, there's no excuses. Guys have to step up, and last weekend, certainly everyone was pulling on the same rope. It's not for lack of effort, not for lack of work behind the scenes. When you just look at things like power play, 36.4%, that's first in the league. Our PK is a top four PK. I think it's 80.6. Our faceoffs were second in the league in faceoffs at 52.3%. So those are all things that are taught. Those are all things that are coached. Those are all things that are worked on. So it's going in the right direction, but certainly we certainly need to keep that going.
You've mentioned the point there, which was the fact that the Glasgow Clan probably have played more minutes on the ice than any other team in the Elite League in the first 10 games. Was it six games have gone to overtime and maybe on a shootout? It shows that, you know, we did have a chat last week on the pod saying, you know, what do the Glasgow Clan need to change? But it looks that you were there or thereabouts. You just needed to find that one little bit just to push you over into the regulation wins.
Just needed a bounce in overtime. Just needed a little bit of puck luck. I mean, look, like I said, there's no excuses. At times it hasn't been good enough. At times it has been good. I mean, it's a big win. No one goes into Sheffield and thinks it's going to be easy. And we went into Sheffield with, you know, three lines, and they had four lines, and that's always tough. And they were coming off a big win against you guys, so they were riding high. So look, it's never easy to go on there. But look, it's no one's, I've said this to some of the guys, it's no one's right to win. This is a tough league. And if you're new to the league, it takes a little bit of adjustment. And that's coaching too. That's new guys, it's new imports. But I can tell you, our guys on the ice, off the ice, are working hard. And our coaching staff, I've seen some of the work that's gone on. I'm actually amazed at the professional detail and the thing. So when it clicks, it's going to be good. It's, you know, you're riding the wave of injuries. You're riding the wave. We've had suspensions. You've had the, you know, those the ups and downs of a hockey season. And you look back, it has been a roller coaster, Patty. Like, you go back to Mike Hammond. And we've had some ups and downs, and I still find it very hard to talk about that. And we know what happened October 28th, and we're all dealing with that. So it's been a hockey season like no other. And what I'll say to our fans, and what I'll say to people who are calling for probably even calling for my head or whoever's head after the Dundee game, is that, like, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. You don't see everything that's going on, and I don't live my life on social media. So just because you ask a question about what's happening and all that doesn't mean you're going to get an answer right away, because people are busy behind the scenes actually running practices, running practice plans. We're looking at everything all the time to make our hockey club better. So the Purple Army can rest assured knowing that we're it's not for lack of effort, some of the losses. But like you said, we've gotten points in a lot of those games. This time last year, and this is no disrespect to those that have come before, 0-6 in the cup. I don't think we had a win until game 11 in the league. We certainly didn't have a first overall power play. We certainly weren't in the top four in the PK. We certainly didn't have guys in the top in scoring like Pellick and Callan. A lot of things are going good or better than last year. So we need to all look at this as a whole.
You make an interesting point there, and especially now that there is the change in regime, let's put it that way, and the fact that, you know, with all due respect to everybody who went before and to you guys as well, there is a high level of hockey knowledge still within the club. You know, yourself, you know, Gareth and stuff, knowing how to run hockey clubs, and you've brought in Jason, who's got a good pedigree, and a lot of the guys on the ice, yet the change itself still has to bed in. Is that fair?
You don't wave a magic wand. I've said to a few people, I was in McDonald's buying coffee for the coaching staff and for some of the equipment managers last week, and someone came up and got into my space a little bit and was calling for this and that, and I just went, whoa, let's relax here. There's no magic wand. Just because there's a new owner and a new coach and like 9 new guys to the Elite League. I mean, Mike Pellick's never played in the Elite League. I mean, his brother did. I mean, Nate Callan's never played in the Elite League. It takes a little while, and you have to be a little bit patient, because it's like we were never going to be undefeated at this point. Like, even when you guys won the treble last year, you went through your fair share of adversity. There were times last year you're probably thinking, what's going to happen here? You need to let things happen, and you have to have the trust that the coaching staff is working night and day. I mean, you're like the stuff that happens now, then from the time you and I came on the scene in the Elite League, I mean, coaches are cutting video for 6-7 hours a day. The work is being put in, and I can tell you, it's a great point by you. You need to let it bed in. That's a great term. You need to let change bed in a little bit.
On that, you know, and what this is something that I think we asked of maybe Pete Russell or somebody in a previous podcast, is, you know, bringing in a coach who has no Elite League experience, and the fact that there needs to be a time where, you know, this league's like no other. You know, we focus a point in October, a point in November is as valuable as a point in March, and it's night in, night out. How well do you think Jason's adjusting to that, the fact that he is coming into a league where there are, not that a coach ever thinks tonight's a night off, but in the Elite League, it is relentless.
Well, it is, and we talked about that, but if there's one thing we got right, 100% hand on heart, is our coaching staff. So take that for what it's worth. I'm not going to get into the nuances. Like I said, the amount of work that goes on both on and off the ice is mind-boggling. I mean, I've got my work with the Clan, I got my work with Viaplay, and I can guarantee you I still have more free time than our coaching staff does. So that'll just let you know what's going on behind the scenes. You talked about Gareth and stuff. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into running a hockey club. I wasn't naive to it. I've seen it from the sponsorship and the broadcast side, but now being kind of in the arena, in the room kind of thing, it's unbelievable. So hand on heart, there's nothing I would change other than maybe a couple of guys being healthy.
And obviously the game coming this week, the boys are traveling down to Surrey to take on Guildford, hoping for to continue this run. But there have been changes. I remember Alex Roach when he came in at Icebourne, and he came from East Coast League or the AHL. But he's gone through quite a bit of time in Germany, and now you've picked him up. Changes have been made, and hopefully he can set in Glasgow.
Well, this is like we said. I mean, I don't live my life on social media, so I'm not going to answer every question. I'm just not. It's just not how and not who I am. So if that upsets people, so be it. But the fact of the matter is, while you're tweeting or while someone's tweeting and calling for heads to roll, work is going on to shore things up, whether it's defensively or whatever. So, I mean, that's a big acquisition, isn't it? Literally and figuratively, 6'5" defenseman that can move like that, shut down, play against guys, the other team's top line. And when you have as many injuries as we have, like, I mean, that was all hands on deck last week at Utilita Arena, with us having basically a complete line missing and Sheffield being having everybody. So we need to look at those things. We hope that that beds in quickly. But again, don't expect anyone to come in and change things overnight. Like, we have to be patient. And if you look at Guildford, they made a bunch of changes, including an ex-member of the clan, Stephen McParland, goes in there. And they had a little bit of a run, but now they've lost a few games in a row. This is a league, when you look at it, I mean, Coventry a little bit off the pace, but we know Danny Stewart will get Coventry going, right? That's just who he is. He doesn't stop battling. But if you look at it, there's a lot of teams on 12 points. And if you look at sort of the success of the Devils now in the Continental Cup, they'll come back to league play. I mean, it's wide open. And it's actually, if you're a neutral fan, I know that your fans aren't happy right now, but that's because you're the treble winners and no one will take sort of losing, right? And that's culture. That's taken a long while to get to that point because, you know, the treble doesn't happen every year. But if you look at the league itself, I mean, I hate to say it. Like, you look at the Scottish teams, all three Scottish teams with four-point weekends last weekend. It's good for the league. It's good for the league.
And what's the future hold now for the Glasgow Clan? Obviously, you've got, you know, the game tonight, and you can talk about the games, but looking forward in the league season, now things are starting to build. You must have sort of aims that you're looking to reach.
Yeah, it's not even just this season. It's building a culture. It's building a program. It's building say last year wasn't a great year. You get rid of coaches, you get rid of players. Say it wasn't great the year before, you get rid of coaches, you get rid of players. The whole rigmarole of one and done doesn't work if you're building culture. Adam Keefe is a part of the furniture in Belfast right now, right? And that comes with allowing the program to build and getting to the point where you win a treble. For me, it's building consistency. It's building a culture around the club that can, I don't want to say travels, but you want to be competing, right? And that takes some time, and that takes allowing a coach or a roster or the core of your team to figure it out to some degree. Like I said earlier, there's no magic wand, and I'm absolutely in awe of some of the work that goes on in behind the scenes, and that includes like our physio, like Kirsty. I mean, that physio room has been like the most popular place in the building because we've had so many guys kind of in and out of the injury bug. So we need to build some consistency, and we need to just stop knee-jerk reacting to things. And certainly we have to be somewhat patient because I know ownership, this is a long-term project, right? So why shouldn't it be a long-term project for us all behind the scenes trying to build something? It's like the old saying, you can't win the Stanley Cup every year, but you sure like to be in the mix. So that's what we need to do.
One last question, mate. What about yourself? You've made this move, and you've been taken on. Obviously, you had the relationship with the owner previously through his time with Santander Premier Sports. You've now taken this role on the Glasgow Clan. Has it been everything you've wanted it to be, or is it still a work in progress?
It's a work in progress. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm well versed on the sponsorship side and the broadcast side. I'm well versed on what happens in the boardroom because, I mean, let's be honest, I've been around for 14 years and I know who I can talk to. I thought I knew who I could talk to and who I can't talk to. You learn lessons as you go. But the most important thing for me is to not have knee-jerk reactions. Like, we can't base a season or a program or a culture on a few weeks or a few results. You know this. There are games you will win when you don't deserve to win. And there are nights you should win and you don't. And that's hockey. And for people calling for knee-jerk reactions, just pump the brakes. I love the passion from all 10 teams. And I've felt it from all 10 teams because when I'm in buildings doing TV and I wasn't affiliated with the clan, I used to get yelled at because they were like, oh, well, you're just a Giants guy because you're on a view from the bridge. Or you're just a Devils guy because we know that you know Todd Kilman for 14 years. So for me, just build a program, try and have thick skin to some degree, and I'll take the blame, man. Like that after the Dundee game, there were people saying this and that. I knew it wasn't coaching. I knew it wasn't anything other than a bad weekend, a really bad weekend. Let's be honest, it wasn't good enough. But then we go and have a good weekend this weekend. So you can't get too high after the double loss, and you can't get too high after the double win. So I just try and remain professional and calm, and I certainly – look, I'll learn lessons every week. And if I don't, then then we would have won everything, right? Because when you start thinking you know everything, it must have gone pretty good because, you know, you've won the Stanley Cup or you've won the Olympics. And for us, we just need to learn each and every week. And it starts a big three-game week, right? If you're on a four-point weekend, what do you want to do? You want to get right back on the horse. And we've got Guildford and we've got you and we've got Manchester. So that's huge for us. And let's hope that we can come out of that with some points. But I certainly won't be planning any, pity me party if it doesn't go three wins in three games.
Big thanks to Aaron Murphy for his time. That game against the Clan is on Saturday, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. You can get down, get tickets to that. As Sis said earlier on, it's going fast. You fixing your lamp, Sis? He's on mute. He's got a new lamp. I'm telling you, get that. So I need one of those just sort of make it look well.
It's the halo, mate.
Your halo, go with it. Get down to the SSE Arena. As I said, the tickets are selling fast for that. That's Saturday, 7 p.m. The Giants are home against the Clan, looking to get out of this bad run of four we've been on. And then we go to our first visit to the NIC to face the Nottingham Panthers. Their first competitive game after all that has happened. Their first competitive game will be against us on Sunday at 4 p.m. And you'll get that on Panthers TV with our good friend John O'Bullard. Gents, any other business?
David, do you want to come in?
Yeah, I do. Seen in the messages at the very start of the show, don't know whether I can scroll up to him, but he gave himself a wee mention. Scroll.
Jack Gourley. There it is, David. I've put it up.
Jack Gourley. Thanks. Happy 18th on Thursday, Jack. Many happy returns.
Happy birthday.
If you follow me on Twitter, and I'll play you a tune.
We got the two, of course.
Happy birthday.
What's Paddy doing?
I'm sorry, I hit a button to see if we got happy birthday. No, that's the one show. I'm sure we have happy birthday somewhere.
Happy one show, Jack.
Happy
and one of course, show. And as I said earlier, my sister Beverly, big 5-0 today, makes me the youngest in the family again by some distance. So
there it is.
You just look the oldest.
Had the hardest paper round, mate. Happy birthday. But just another quick one, and Simon, maybe come to it because you're just back or whatever says, but to everybody that helped in the fundraisers over the last little while to get Blake over to Boston, the trip looks like it's been amazing. I've been watching Christine's stories over the days, stories for a lifetime there that need to be told. So we're looking forward to getting back and hearing how you got on. But looks like it's been a lot of fun, and thanks to everybody that made everything out in Boston happen.
Simon.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I came back this morning, it wasn't planned for it to go. Just when everything was organized and they'd got it all booked, and we just decided, you know what, I'll just go. Because there's a few guys there I wanted to see. I was speaking to Boxy and Higgy, Bobby Farnham. We caught up all those guys, Steve Saviano, Big Spiro came down from Montreal. So it's great to see some of the boys that I haven't seen for a while, and Saviano sure was seen, and Boxy was seen back in April. It's the first time I was ever in Boston, and it'll not be the last. I absolutely loved it. I'm going to go back. I was speaking to, again, Boxy before I left, and probably going to stay with him for a few days, and maybe over next summer, stuff like that. It's a fabulous city. It really, really is. I mean, it's big, but it's not that big compared to like New York. I really, really enjoyed it. Again, we Blake, it's you just touched on it, Davey, you know, but thanking everybody for everything they did for him and the money they raised for him and his family to go away. It's a trip of a lifetime. Make no mistake about it. They're having a ball, they're really enjoying themselves. They haven't stopped. They genuinely have not stopped. They were at Harvard this morning. Bobby Farnham organized a trip for them this morning to go to Harvard. I think they were there at 8:30. Now, for anybody that's been in Boston before and seen the traffic, it is horrendous at all times. So for even getting from where they're staying to Harvard, it's for me, if I was going from here the same distance to Belfast or whatever it is, it's going to take me 20 minutes. You're not getting anywhere near within an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. It's just ridiculous. So, they obviously went to the Bruins game. Smo looked after them on Friday night in Worcester. We got to see Smo, and then I bumped into a guy who who I haven't seen for 32 years, the guy called Mike Myers, not the actor. Mike was here. His dad was the American consul general back in the late 80s, early 90s, and he played with us in Dundonald. And I haven't seen him. And Mike's the COO at Worcester Railers, so spent a bit of time with him, and he showed us around their arena. And again, thanks to him and everybody at Worcester. But it's been a brilliant trip for him. He's loved it. He is not. I see the efforts and time and everything that's put into just trying to make Blake comfortable. If that's the best way of looking at it, you know, if anybody's seen the photographs of what Christine put online of what they just needed essentially to go away for 10 days. The suitcases, I mean, when I was watching them unpack, they just lifted one suitcase up and put it on top of the island in the kitchen, and they're lifting this stuff out and putting it up under the shelves. It's ridiculous, the amount of stuff that they have to take and transport just to keep Blake doing what he does on a daily basis. It's insane. And it couldn't happen without everybody from, you know, anybody that donated in any way, shape, or form. I mean, there's just too many people to mention. And, you know, the sisters from Portaferry did a brilliant night on the bowling centre a couple of weeks before the event and before they went away. And it's just fantastic. So thank you very, very much to everybody who paid anything towards the trip. I know that the Blake and his family are very, very grateful. And yeah, it's been fantastic for them.
Fabulous opportunity, and yeah, well done to everybody on organizing it, because it can't have been easy. And I, like yourselves, I saw a lot of the photographs and the videos Christine and I put up. I thought it was, some of the stuff was fabulous, and just to see that, just the photographs, even like the Boston Bruins and meeting those boys, and you see how happy you know, Blake is to do it, and the opportunity for him to get to go there and be part of that, and well done to everybody who was part, and big thanks to everybody who was part of making that happen. Right.
One last thing.
Go for it, Paddy.
Massive thanks to Neil Russell. He does a favor on for Saturday, and it will not be forgotten. So I really, really appreciate it.
Excellent.
Hashtag thank you, coach. Right, let's start to wrap things up, gents. Big thanks to Mark Cooper, to Aaron Murphy, and to Kieran Bartlett for taking the time and coming on the show. The gents are at home on Saturday, 7 p.m. against the Glasgow Clan. Get yourself down to the SSE Arena or follow it with Sizz on Giants TV. And then we travel on Sunday to face the Nottingham Panthers for the first time this season over at the NIC, their first competitive game back at the NIC. And if you're not making the trip over, you can join John O'Bullard and Dan Green on Panthers TV for that. Yeah, absolutely. Looking for the Giants to get back on it. Because you know what? I was thinking about this a lot. We've been spoiled the last number of years, and there's nothing wrong with that. We've had a culture of winning, and we've come to enjoy it. And sometimes that comes to an end. But in the last couple of seasons, when we've come to win the league, we've come from a position of adversity. We've had to come back and win it. We've had to make changes, of which a lot of people have. But also, when you win so much, you get a target put in your back. And everybody starts to sort of like, listen, you could see the glee on the fan bases from right across the elite league at the idea that the Giants have lost a couple of games. That comes hand in hand with success. That's what the Belfast Giants are. They're the number one team. They're the most successful team in the elite league era. And that's what comes hands in hand. And there's a reason for that. It's because we find a way to pick ourselves up, move forward, and be successful again. And I've no doubt that's what's going to happen. The Giants will walk into the SSE Arena to face the Clan, and they'll look to start all over again with the Elite League title in their sights. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure as always. Good to see you. Welcome back, Sizz.
Thank you, gents.
You can get us on YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, Facebook, at AVFTB on Twitter/X, and kingdomofthegiants.com. Or if you want to send us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Still you rise. Still you rise.
Social Podcast Network.